This is Radio 4. It's 11:30. And it's time to pull up a turkey sandwich, throw another relative onto the fire, and throttle the kids with a piece of tinsel as we bring you The Never Again Show. Welcome to the Never Again Show. The show which looks at the merriment and jollity of the festive season. Oh dear, with Brian Johnson, Brenda Blethyn, John Glover and, Robert Harley. Oh dear. Can you turn it down a little?
Hello there. I'm Brian Johnston, and like you, I overdid it a bit this Christmas. I've got a splitting headache and a mouth like the bottom of Santa's bran tub. But that's not going to stop me enjoying this light-hearted mélange of Christmas leftovers. I've come to the Elves' Warehouse at the North Pole. At least that's what it says on the bus ticket. This is the building where all the Christmas presents come from, so you can imagine it's a horrible colour and the wrong size. Let's just squeeze through this tiny puce and lime green door and see what we can find. Hello? Hello? Doesn't seem to be anyone about. Well, I'm in a huge oak-beamed hall piled high with crates and boxes, but as I walk through, I can't find any sign of life. Except for the odd reindeer. Still, let's have a look in one of these boxes. It's a computer game, Space Invaders. It must be based on the idea of Christmas shopping. Are these games today? I can remember when we had to make do with a piece of string and a conker, and that was just Christmas lunch. Let's try another box. Ah, that's more like it, a personal stereo. Let's have a listen, shall we? Oh, I see. You want to listen too, do you?
Hello there. And this week on Christmas Cookery Corner, we'll be looking at what you can do with all those Christmas leftovers. First of all, of course, that huge old bird in the fridge. What can we do with a turkey? We can spend the next 2 months eating the damn thing, that's what. The family can enjoy turkey curry, turkey fritters, turkey yogurt, cheese on turkey, and turkey trifle. And there's lots more exciting ways to use up those festive leftovers. Try this delicious recipe for unwanted cardigan fritters. Take at least 2 unwanted cardigans, including the hideous purple ribknit one from Home and Wear that Aunt Edith gave you. Batter the cardigans and pop them lightly in a medium attic. Our last dish is more ambitious, but worth all the trouble. Hitachi Ovan originated in Japan, where the main ingredient comes from. The average weight cheap radio cassette will be on its last legs by the end of Boxing Day, and should, like lobster, be cooked while still alive. Immerse in boiling water while you can still faintly pick up Radio 2, and you will have a rare delicacy. Well, there you have it. There are other ways to use up Christmas remnants. Tinsel cake, holly and walnut shell gazpacho, wrapping paper rissoles. Imagination is the cook's greatest friend. Good luck, and happy eating.
And you join us here at the oval-shaped dining room table for the Maythorpe's Christmas test dinner. And as Dad wheels the carving knife at exactly 1:25, this good-natured crowd are hoping for a fine day's eating. Yes, the turkey went into base this morning, pilot light was out at 7:45, but potatoes went into 10:50, forming a useful partnership.
Oh, well carved.
Yes, Fred, very well carved, and that's the first stroke of fine square cut on the leg side off the turkey. Oh, and that's out.
Yes, definitely out.
Yes, Uncle Tim's false teeth are out of his mouth and into the sprouts. When was the last time that happened, Fred?
Well, John, as I am informed, that last occurred in 1971 in the Atkinsons in West Bromwich. That surprised me. And, of course, Uncle Tim's not been invited back there since.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Fred. Oh. The grandma just went into the bowl, but it's the new potato. She put just a little bit too much top spin on that one, and it's off the table and right out of the eating area.
Well, me old child, there were some doubts as to whether grandma would be fit for this meal today.
Oh, yes, and the applause you hear there is for Dad, who's pouring the drinks.
Aye, a lovely fluid motion.
Four rums from the moment it left the bottle. What a welcome sight that is.
And this surprises me, John, as Grandma now moving up to a rate of 5.2 rums an hour. That's an over rate of about 20 milligrams.
And there's a bit of a problem with little Sharon. She wants some pudding, but I think the aunties made a no-bowl decision. So in comes Mum from the nursery end to take strike. Oh, and Mr. Harrison from next door looks a bit stumped at the moment. He's consulting with Mrs. Harrison.
Aye, it looks as though some of the turkey is a bit on the offside.
Yes, and up goes the finger. Oh, two fingers, and I can't imagine what he's signalling to Dad there.
Oh, steady on, Johnners.
In fact, I've got a piece of Christmas pudding here that a Mrs. Carter of Worksop has sent us. It looks most delightful, I must say. Would you care for a slice, Sir Frederick?
Oh, I reckon I'll have a slice with you, don't mind with you.
So after 2 hours of uninterrupted eating, the team's retired to the front room where they'll be taking the tea interval. Bye-bye for now.
Oh, hello there. Just killing time in the warehouse by looking through the bookshelves. They've got all the Christmas books here, the Nigel Rees book of other people's jokes, the Yuppie Naff Guide to Sloan Fogies, and the Yuppie Naff Sloan Guide to Nigel Rees by Giles Brandreth. So there's nothing to do and nothing to read. Oh, wait a second. I've just noticed something happening over the other side of the hall. I'll go and investigate while you listen to this.
Hello? Samaritans?
Hello. You know, at this time of year, I would like to remind ourselves of the real meaning of Yuletide. The Nativity, hope for mankind, peace on earth, and all that jazz. But you know, Christmas isn't just about religion. The question that ought to be at the front of all our minds is, how much lolly are we all going to make out of it? Well, we need look no further than the Bible itself, the true message of the season. A shot in the arm for small businesses. Take the innkeeper. He knew where his best interests lay. I mean, if two tramps and a donkey turned up at my front door at 11:30 on Christmas Eve, I'd sling him in the garage, wouldn't you? After all, you've got to look after the regulars. And what about the shepherds? They knew the value of a free lamb handout. Get the right celebrity to endorse your product, and it's free publicity for the next 2,000 years. Even the gifts of the three wise men have something to tell us about Crimble. The mention of gold reminds us of those little chocolate coins that kiddies love but can never unwrap. Frankincense reminds us of those bottles of fictional bought from a suitcase in Oxford Street. And myrrh reminds us of that funny noise we make when we've eaten too much turkey. Myrrh. But of course, for me, the true joy of Yuletide rests with the family service on Christmas Day. Because I'm on double time.
10,000, 20,000, 25,000. Check.
Hello, I say, you with the clipboard?
Yes.
What's your function in the warehouse?
I'm an elf.
Well, you're the unlikeliest elf I've ever seen.
And how many elves have you seen?
Well, I just thought, you know, the steel-rimmed glasses and the pinstripes.
And what did you expect? A boiler suit?
Well, I rather expected a pointed hat and a... Oh, never mind. So, all these presents are to be given away to the children, are they?
Given away? It's all privatised these days. We are now called Yuletide Loans, PLC.
Loans?
Yes. All the presents you got this year are given on a short-term leasehold basis. You have to give them back after 5 years, with interest.
Oh, golly. Does that include this pile of Christmas pop records?
Yes, yeah? They've got to go back, too.
Well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Not really. Have you heard some of them?
And here are the top 10 Christmas records as compiled for the BBC by the record industry. Gallup. And at number 10, it's Band-Aid with Do They Know It's Christmas. All profits go to Band-Aid. At number 9, it's Wham with Last Christmas. All profits go to Wham. Then at number 8, it's Swan's Accountants with Of Course We Know It's Christmas. At number 7, Duran Duran with Is There Something I Should Christmas from the film A View to a Killing. Number 6, Tears for Fears with Everybody Wants to Rule the Christmas. At 5, it's the very wonderful Sade with Your Love is Christmas. At 4, it's Wham once again with Wake Me Up Before You Christmas. And now, the big 3. And at number 3, Dire Straits with the classic Sultans of Christmas. At number 2, it's the one and only Madonna with Like a Christmas from the film Desperately Seeking a Prophet. And at number 1, of course, the Money Spinners with All I Want for Christmas is a Novelty Record.
Come on, Mike, give me the keys.
And nah, I'll be all right.
You're well over the limit.
So are you.
What about one of the lads in the back driving?
Here we go.
Oh, perhaps not.
I'll be all right.
What if you get stopped?
Ah, that was going to stop us. All right.
So tell me, Mr. Elf.
Call me Alf.
All right. Where have you taken me now?
This is the Department of Aggravation.
Oh, yes?
And this is where we manufacture all the things that annoy you about Christmas. For instance, here we have a group of drunken marketing consultants ready to fill up your local and stop you getting to the bar.
16 tamarillos, please, love. Well, it is Christmas, isn't it, eh?
And over here we have 2 million birthday cards.
Oh, so that's where they all go at Christmas, eh?
Hark the herald angels sing.
And what's going on over there?
Glory to the new.
I bet it's just tuning up the carol singers.
Well, they sounded perfectly in tune to start with.
Exactly. And these people here are shrinking the socks you're given so that they never fit. This lot are busy sewing bright orange rabbits onto all the pullovers. And these are our Geoffrey Archer books.
Oh, and what do you do to those?
Nothing.
What a frightful place, Alf.
I'll wait till you see our leftovers department.
What's it going to be this Christmas? Is it going to be the same old boring Monopoly and Cluedo, Pit and Consequences? Not if you're Kakko Games Limited. We're just bursting with new ideas. We're vomiting up ideas galore, and it's all as much fun as last year's logarithmic bingo. Yes, for centuries people have played Snap, but now there's Computer Snap. It's just as much fun, but 25 times more expensive, even without these special Duracell batteries, which last up to 5 times longer than normal batteries. And 50 times longer than you'd ever want to play this mindlessly tedious game. Or how about playing the fabulous new game of Wheeler Dealer? Yes, you and your family can thrill to this ludicrously oversimplified and guaranteed non-politically motivated microcosm of capitalism. Clinch huge multinational deals. Sell stocks and shares worth billions of petrodollars. Push a small plastic bowler hat round a piece of cardboard. Or for the more megalomaniac amongst you, play new Waddington's Death. Real thermonuclear war in your living room. Mum's the Russians, Dad's the Americans, Aunt Edith is the Western Europeans, and, uh-oh, you're Yugoslavia. What will you do? And there's more. Atari Video Games present Video Pin the Tail on the Donkey, complete with 25 replacement television screens. Or there's new Flump Bimp Patang Crash Boom, in which two players throw plastic squares at each other until they give up. Think, why on earth did Mummy and Daddy waste their money on this stupid game and go off and have their Christmas?
You know, it's sometimes easy to forget that behind the hurly-burly of a modern Christmas lies a much older pagan tradition. A tradition that is still observed in some parts of England, which is why I'm standing here in the tiny marketplace of Festering in the Mould, a picturesque little village which has remained virtually unchanged for hundreds of years. In fact, it takes very little to imagine this charming village in a bygone era. If I half close my eyes and turn away from the Waitrose supermarket and ignore the multi-story car park, it could be the Middle Ages. And if I close my eyes completely and stroll quietly...
Where are you going, mate?
Oh, sorry. Yes, anyhow, every year the inhabitants of Festering in the Mill perform a series of ancient rituals whose origins are almost lost in the mists of time. And here to tell me about them are some of the locals.
Oh, aye, Brian, it is true.
It's true.
It is true.
Well, what sort of thing?
Well, Brian, there is a whittling of the widget.
And what's that all about?
Oh, it is traditional. The village must have a widget whittled come napping time.
What exactly is the napping time?
It's 2:30, and I'll thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head, if you don't mind.
Sorry, you misunderstood me. I was asking about the time of year.
Oh, yeah, napping time. Now, napping time be about when the seventh moon after snake threshing turns gibbous.
And what exactly happens at napping time?
Nothing.
Well, what about that widget whittling you mentioned?
Well, Brian, at the beginning of the year, we do select a sturdy oak tree. And all year, men of the village do whittle it down, whittle it down, whittle it down.
Yes?
Till they do get a widget.
And what's a widget?
It's a little sliver of wood about 2 inches long and pointed at one end.
I see. And what's this widget used for?
Sir, see, it do play a very important part in the feasting we do have at Christmas.
Feasting?
Yes, sir. For Christmas, we catch us some frumets.
Frumets?
Frumets? What are frumets?
Well, it's a sort of a large bird, sir, that runs round going gobble, gobble, cluck, cluck, gobble, gobble.
Oh, you mean a turkey?
Aye, sir. Some folks do call them that. Anyway, we cooks the frumets, and comes Christmas, we eat some.
And then, sir, when we finish, we do ceremonially pass the widget around and use it to get the little bits of frumet out from between our teeth.
Oh, I see. So, really, it's a sort of toothpick, really.
Toothpick? Here, that's a good name for it, isn't it, Desdemona?
Aye, that's better than widget. I must remember that. Yeah.
Funnily enough, you know, these rituals aren't so very different from some of the modern celebrations.
Oh, aye, Brian, that's as may be. But remember, 'tis the old ways that are the best.
I say, Mother, it was an awfully nice bird. It really was super.
Oh, do stop grovelling, Charles. You're beginning to sound like Alastair Binet. And do sit up, Philip.
Sorry, dear. Still, it's nice to have something a shade more exclusive than turkey.
Oh, you mean the dodo?
Lucky that George IV laid a few down in the cellar in 1831.
Lucky, he was just clever enough to shoot the last few while they were still going.
Diana, would you like some more sprites?
But, Charles, we agreed that two was enough for a modern family.
No. I meant, Sir Pristine Knockers.
And now, time for the novelties.
Yes, where's the chap who usually pulls the crackers?
Don't you remember? Andrew's gone skiing.
Come along, Charlie. Get hold of the end.
A 21 gun salute.
Who's got the gift?
Me. I've got the fish that tells your fortune.
What does it say?
About 6 trillion guineas.
Oh, God, I'm completely porked out. I think I'll go and grab a few zetas. Zeds.
Aren't you going to wait for the pudding?
Oh, Lord, don't tell me Di's granny was invited.
Besides, you'll miss Edward's magic show.
Hi, folks. Magic time.
Golly.
Jolly good, Edward. One can't wait.
Oh, great. Children. For my first trick, I take this perfectly ordinary £50 note and tear it in half. Great, thank you. For my next trick,
Hold on, Ned. Aren't you supposed to magic it back together?
No, I just did it to show how rich we are.
Very good.
Great. Okay. All right, shut up. Right, now, for my next trick, I'm going to need an ordinary crown.
Yeah, Edward, you can use mine.
Oh, thanks, Mara. I won't spoil it.
No, don't worry. I got it from a cracker.
Great. Now, Izzy, Wizzy, let's get busy.
Cripes, a white rabbit.
Rabbit! Quick! Oh, Dad, you've ruined everything!
Well, thank you, Edward. What shall we do next?
How about Trivial Pursuit?
Not another visit to Australia.
One thinks there might be something good on the box.
No, lovey. It's only the Queen's speech. Golly.
I know, let's listen to the wireless.
The radio? Why?
Well, it's always non-stop goons at Christmas.
Oh, I'm glad you turned on the radio, because otherwise you'd miss the rest of the show. Now we come to the part of the warehouse where they keep the traditional trimmings of Christmas, such as sketches about Christmas shopping.
Martin, what are we coming here for?
You've forgotten already, haven't you? We've got to get a present for Gareth and Pauline Little Nelson.
All right.
Yeah, look at these. These are pretty good. He-Man and Skeletor.
No, I don't think that's entirely suitable.
Rubbish, Nelson will love it.
Yes, I'm sure he will, but what about Gareth and Pauline?
Oh, we can get them one too.
No, you know, they're terribly anti-military. They even stop travelling by bus because the conductor wears a uniform.
All right. Well, we'll get him a toy car.
No, that's sexist.
Not if we get him a pink one.
Oh, shut up, Martin. Let's ask the assistant. Excuse me?
Yes?
Have you got something suitable for a 7-year-old boy?
Oh, yes indeed, madam. We've got a robot that transforms into a tank, an android that turns into a fighter plane, a cyborg that doesn't turn into anything but kills people, a robot that converts into an electric chair.
How about a robot that turns into a Peruvian pom-pom hat?
We've just sold the last one.
You see, what we're looking for is something less violent.
There's something soft and woolly.
Like Gareth and Pauline.
I've got just the thing, madam. Here we are. Soft, cuddly and lovable.
Oh, yes. Oh, bollywog.
Got anything artistic and creative?
What about these build-your-own packs?
Oh, yes, yes. We've got build-your-own tank.
No.
Build-your-own battery farm. Build-your-own union carbide plant.
No.
Build-your-own Zambezi whooping cough vaccination clinic.
Ah.
Yeah?
No, hang on.
What?
Made in South Africa.
Oh, no.
Well, if you like that, you'll love this. The VSO game.
Ah, yeah, now, voluntary service overseas.
No, Vulcan stab orgy.
Hey, Martin, look what I found.
What?
A little wooden model of a wind-powered water pump.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's made by a cooperative of Nicaraguan peasants.
Great, we'll have it.
Great, right, that'll be £49.99, please.
What?
Eh?
Oh, stuff it. We'll get in the He-Man and Skeletor. Mm. Meow!
Well, I never. Look what's fallen off the back of that sketch. An alternative action man. I wonder what happens when I pull the string.
No drill for me, Sarge. It's time for my encounter group. No drill for me.
Oh, well, it takes all sorts, I suppose. And now we proudly present a radio adaptation of a recently discovered short story by Charles Dickens. Entitled A Jolly Christmas Pudding at the Cherrywinkles, it emerges as perhaps Dickens' most poignant evocation of all the splendid Yuletide festivities of a bygone age.
The snow was falling thicker and thicker, painting a crisp, glittering mantle upon the cheery Yuletide logs, where countless robin redbreasts perched, resting from their brisk jaunts betwixt the groaning snow-clad eaves of the picturesque cottages, whose ice-kissed windows winked and sparkled merrily to each other across the high streets of Knightschester. The ice-bound pond resounded to the hearty cries of young ragamuffins and fur-hugged skaters, their rosy cheeks aglow with Christmas Eve anticipation.
Stop gazing at that blasted Christmas card, young Bob Jolly Bob, and get on with your work.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Scumbag, sir, but it is Christmas Eve and it is very nearly midnight.
I suppose you want to go home early, is that it? The firm of Silas Scumbag is not a charity, you know.
Yes, sir, if you please.
Very well, but I'll take it off your pay.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Scumbag. And, sir, could you possibly let me take some waste paper home from the office?
A waste paper? What for?
I want to cook a nice paper pudding for Tiny Eric, the little orphan boy. It's his favourite treat.
Oh, very well. And since it's Christmas, I suppose I'll only charge you half price for it. Now, I'll be off with you before I change my mind.
Oh, thank you, sir. Good night, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Get out, you impudent puppy.
He's not such a bad sort after all. He didn't charge me for me candle tonight.
Oi, Bob. Well met, old friend.
Oh, Ned Friendly and Sarah Muffins. Greetings. And where are you bound this Christmas Eve?
We're going to the workhouse, Bob, to let the poor people touch our Christmas presents.
Oh, that's a fine gesture, Ned. Don't forget your disinfectant.
Oh, look, Ned. Do look in this window. See those fine bonnets and crinolines, and the sumptuous velveteen bustles, and rare silk wimples and gussets, straight from Paris, I'll be bound.
Come away, Sarah. There'll be plenty of time to look in the costume hire shop after Christmas.
Whoa! Whoa! Hello, Bob. Hello, Ned.
Hello, Dick. Where are you going?
To the stables. Can't stop. Merry Christmas. Gee up.
Who on earth was that?
Oh, that was poor half-witted Dick Dithering, Whimsy. The poor fellow thinks he's a horse, but he means no harm.
True, Bob, but I wish he wouldn't leave that mess behind him.
Well, here we are at the Cherrywinkles. Will you step inside a while?
We'd best not, Bob.
Well, goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Hello.
May I come in?
Bob, jolly Bob, you're just in time. The food's nearly done.
Oh, my goodness, Mrs. Cheerywinkle. What a veritable paradise of delicious smells and pungent aromas. What a cacophonous dialogue of clanking pans and steaming and roasting and spitting and crackling. You've done us proud for supper, I'll be bound.
Well, Bob, as you know, we're poor humble folk, but we scrimped and saved all year for this meal, and we've managed to put together a few mean scraps to feast upon. Why, there's some nice bits of bacon and some roasted muffins, and a capon or two, and a sucking pig, of course. Christmas won't be same without that. Right. And a whole roast ox on the spit there. And the traditional squid basted in mango juice. Mm. And Mr. Cheerywinkle managed to beg a few gallons of nice whale blubber from the shoemakers. And there's a fine steaming demijohn of paella. Oh. And there's the pie there that must have at least 100 weight of wildebeest liver in it. Of course, we couldn't afford a turkey. But what do you think, eh?
I meant to tell you, I've become a vegetarian.
Oh, never mind, there's some nut cutlets too. And to wash it down, a noggin of negus and a cratchit of hot flip.
What exactly is negus?
Search me. And now we're all here, let's sit down.
Oh, but Mrs. Cheerywinkle, where's Tiny Eric?
Who? Oh, yes, I knew there was something I meant to tell you. He died this morning, poor little chap. But not to worry. The workhouse delivered a replacement orphan straight away. And here she is.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, and what's your name, my pretty one?
My name's Ellie Goodpure.
Oh, I see.
Ain't she adorable, Bob? Look at those golden ringlets, like angels' kisses. And these big blue eyes. And this sweet smile that seems to bespeak a tender, gentle disposition. And these rosy, dimpled cheeks.
Oh, and what of these large, pustulescent buboes?
Sure, that's just a touch of the black death. There's a lot of it about. Now, who's to say grace? Let's begin before the brindle badges get cold. Lorks a mercy, who can that be? Come in!
Why, it's Silas Scumbag. Well, here's a sight. I suppose you've come to tell us, sir, that your heart is softened by the spirit of goodwill and that you'll join us for Christmas after all.
Not exactly. I've come to tell you that I'm evicting you. Out by the morning. Good night.
Well, well. God bless us, one and all. That was A Jolly Christmas Pudding at the Cheerywinkles. Bob Jolly Bob was played by Master John Glover. Mrs. Cheerywinkle was brought to life by Mistress Brenda Blethyn. Young Master Robert Harley acted the part of Silas Scumbag, and the Right Honourable Lord Sir Brian Johnston, OBE, sat at the back and looked cheerful. It was adapted for wireless broadcasting by Ian Brown, James Hendry, Steve Punt and Paul B. Davis, all of whom were bought a cratchit of hot flip by the producer, David Tyler.
And God bless them, everyone. But as for me, well, I think I've had enough of Christmas for one year, so I'm off home. So, cheerio. Now, where's the door? Oh, it just seems to be locked, and everybody's gone home. Oh, well, I'll just have to stay here till I'm rescued, I suppose. And I'm starting to feel a bit peckish. I wonder if there's anything to eat in those boxes. Ah, mince pies, just the job. Christmas pudding and turkey. Wonderful. Perhaps Christmas isn't so bad after all. Merry Christmas, everyone!
I hope you're going to pay for those.